Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Our Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? You can ask us whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Libby has a question for each of us. Let's start with Age Over Beauty. What one thing are you most looking forward to this Astros season, Blankers?
I want to see Abreu in the Astros lineup. I want to see what he can do. I believe that he can resurrect, maybe not the MVP type season, but I think he's going to have a really, really good season for this lineup, and he can take it to another level. I think that the caveat to that would be, as a sidebar, I'm waiting to see Uncle Mike get back in there too. But I think Abreu can be a difference maker, and I'm really excited about him joining this team.
Lemmy, for you, Joe George, says, what is something listeners would never know that is a challenge to putting on a daily show?
Where do we start? I don't know. I think it's just the biggest challenge is just making sure we're talking about stuff people care about.
Okay.
Joe has a challenge getting dressed.
What does that mean?
That's not true at all.
He dreads all the work he has to do.
You wear sweatpants every day.
I don't wear sweatpants.
Joggers?
I have shorts on today.
So yoga pants.
That debunked right there. Nice try, though.
Yoga pants. And then for me, he says, what is the single best experience of your recent time watching U of H in the tournament? I mean, it's got to be going to the Final Four. Going to the Final Four is pretty cool. I want to see it in a non-COVID year, though. Really want to see that once in my life. And hopefully win a national championship. 713-780-ESPN. Your questions for the Killer Bees, whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776.
Who do you hate more, Jordan Poole or Tyler Hero?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
See, you do this to me all the time. I finally got you with a tough one. Neither one of them are good.
You know what's weird about that is, like, Jordan Poole, we were a better seed the year that we lost to Kentucky when Tyler Hero hit that transition three in the same building we just lost in, by the way. Not very fond of Kansas City. Mm. We won 33 games that year. I think, man, would have played Auburn that next round, but I like our chances in that game. Probably that one. I think we were a little bit better that year. Although Michigan though went to the national championship game the year that they beat us with Jordan Poole. Like, shows you how fickle the tournament can be. Tournament's nuts, as we were talking about earlier. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. 4921 asks, hot dogs or hamburgers?
Hamburgers in a heartbeat.
That was an easy one.
Easy.
I'm a huge...
I told you, ever since when you're a kid in Wisconsin and they take you to the field trip where they show you how they make the sausages.
Yeah.
It's not a good experience.
So literally, figure out how the sausage is made?
What's the setting?
As Calvin Murphy would describe it, everything from the rooter to the tooter goes into a hot dog or a sausage, and it just changes your whole perspective on them.
Yeah. if I'm at a ballpark, it's hot dog always.
Really?
If outside the ballpark... burger.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever bought a cheeseburger at a baseball
game.
That's
a good point, though. Yeah, what about a bratwurst?
I love brats.
Well, like,
brats at baseball games are all-American.
I guess, like, when I say hot dog at a baseball game, oftentimes, like, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, one of the three options. I mean, see, like, a Polish sausage is the best thing in the world. Like, there's no better food at baseball. I hate you both. children. Your children.
I eat a cheeseburger about three times a week.
You. I quit.
I love cheeseburgers. I eat a hot dog. I probably eat more cheeseburgers in a week than I eat hot dogs in a year.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Consistently?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a fatty.
I'm just curious. Let's go back to Joe George. How many of those do you think you've taken?
Should I turn your mic off?
No, I'm asking you a question. It's mailbag. I can ask.
6087.
Watch me grab that microphone too, Pat Creighton.
Who do you think becomes a championship contender first, the Rockets or the Texans?
Texans.
Texans.
What? Really?
I don't know.
I'm starting to get down on this roster.
It's interesting. Like, Jabari and Jalen are playing good.
And like, for themselves.
And like, you're going down.
But are they better relative to the rest of the league versus a Texan versus anybody else in the NFL?
If Wembanyama is the guy he's supposed to be, that's where it changes everything if you get him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you get Wembanyama, then I think everything. But I don't think they have their franchise guy yet. I don't think they have their true
Luka.
No, but they're closer with the pick that they have coming up. They know they're going to get one of the two, probably.
I feel like Bryce and Stroud are much more bust potential
forever.
Than Victor, though.
But
they have to land Victor.
Shaden Sharp.
Yeah.
He's a guy that no one was talking about that came out, I think, the same draft as Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what he... I watched him last night in Portland. And you know, Dame shut down for the year. But with good coaching, with, like, guys working with him, dude was getting double-teamed and went off for, like, 28, 29, 30 points last night, was hitting shots, was all over the place. And I'm going, this is what Houston thought that they were getting. And I get it that, you know, Jalen still can do that. But he did it into the context of an offense. He still was participating in an offense.
But is that Jalen's fault? Like, that's why it's hard to grade the young players.
At a certain point, can you get someone that can get that out of Jalen still?
I think you can. I think the Rockets have a better roster, but the Texans have a better staff now. But the Rockets can fix that this offseason. I'll go Rockets.
I've always said Rockets. I'm leaning the other way a little bit because I don't maybe with a new coaching staff, it'll make more sense.
It is probably like the betting favorite should be the Rockets because just because it only takes one player.
Right.
Like, all it really takes is one guy to turn around the franchise and to elevate. Like, if Wembanyama is the guy he's supposed to be, it elevates Jalen, elevates Jabari. You can bring in a veteran.
But what if it's Bryce is that guy that you know?
But the thing
is, the same thing with Bryce.
That's what I'm saying. The draft pick coming changes things, too.
But the difference is it's five guys on NBA court. 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense. Like, you can have a great quarterback, but if the rest of your team... Look at Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But we're talking about a franchise quarterback and how important that's the most important position in sports. But you can have the rest of the roster laid out for you with young guys like the Rockets do. But until you know who that guy is and you know how hard it is to get that guy, you don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah, but it goes both ways. 1290, what shows y'all watching nowadays? I'm a huge Succession guy that started last night, so I watched that. Great as always. This is the final year, though.
This is the final
season,
yeah.
Final season. That makes me sad.
The older guy that's in that show is a very funny guy. I saw him on Late Night the other night.
Yeah, I enjoy him. He's really good. That show's great. That show's so good. I like Yellowstone. I think Yellowstone's slightly overrated. I think it's a little soapy, but it's good. It's good. Ted Lasso's out on Apple TV. I'll be checking that out. A lot of the shows haven't really started yet. Oh, of course, Vanderpump Rules, which is a lot of drama between Sandoval and Raquel going on right now.
How do you go from those shows to that?
That's my wife's guilty pleasure that I watch with her. But right now, man, it's hot. It's on fire. The gossip there, the scandal there, on fire.
We've all got those shows.
Yeah.
You what?
We all have those shows that you have to watch because your wife. Do you not have one of those?
Don't.
Oh, I do. Grey's Anatomy.
Because you know what's really cool is...
We do every week.
Was it 1,000 Pound Sisters?
Yeah.
Lisa's not only is Lisa addicted to that show, but she's got the kids watching it with her.
What?
Now.
No.
That's not a show for children.
The kids watch it with her. I'm like, you guys can do that in another room. I'm not watching that.
The morning show, I enjoy that one. What are some other shows that are out there that I watch a lot of?
Million Dollar Listing LA.
That's like
you watch
thoughtless.
Vanderpump and then I can't watch that.
I watch The Challenge. The Challenge is great.
Challenge. I'm not watching the new season right now.
The Challenge new season's out?
Well, no, it's on. Yeah,
oh,
it's
I don't like that one.
The veteran one?
Oh, it's the veterans?
Vanderpump.
No, like Johnny Bananas is on it, Wes. They're all on Paramount Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
You gotta pay for it. That's Vanderpump. Tough.
I think we have Paramount. Vanderpump Rules is great. It's so good.
Well, I just started.
The drama's fantastic.
It's called Night Agent. It's on Netflix. It's a new show. It's only like 10 episodes. It's really good.
We watched a documentary yesterday of that Malaysian airline plane that went missing.
I watched that one.
We only watched the first episode. I still have two more to go. That's wild. Like, I can't wait to watch the next two.
You know what documentary I just watched?
The one that I told you to watch?
Yeah, I watched that one. I just watched this one. It's called the Texas Killing Fields.
I started watching that. I couldn't get through it. I didn't like it that much.
My son's pediatrician is on that road.
Really?
On Calder Road in League City. And so, like, they're showing these landmarks, and I'm like, this is creepy. I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I just didn't like it a lot. Did you watch the Murdaugh Murders yet?
Still haven't.
Oh, you got to watch it. Good. It's really good.
I finished the day that the jury came in.
Oh,
for
really?
The dad, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching Mandalorian because I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I can't get into those.
Yeah, see, I'm all about that life.
I can't get into those.
I'm all of it.
Curb is Star Wars movie?
Yeah, Mandalorian. Yeah.
Curb's coming back pretty soon, isn't it?
Not a Curb guy. Just never got into it.
What?
I don't know why.
Curb's the best sitcom.
I need to watch it.
History of sitcoms.
It's not The Office.
It's way better than The Office.
I just love The Office.
I'm like The Office too, but it's not as good as Curb. 1296, what is y'all's favorite Bluebell ice cream? And for Joe George, the assistant to the regional manager, why don't y'all put ketchup on hot dogs in Chicago?
Great question.
Blinkers would.
I don't know
ketchup
the answer.
Ketchup on a hot dog is a no-brainer.
I don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
I do on a regular
dog.
It's
just something like you grow up in Chicago that like they tell you not to do. I don't know.
Here's a hot dog hot take. Maybe I should save it for Wednesday, but already said it, already teased it. I like dill relish, not sweet relish.
I don't like either one.
Good call. But I agree.
But you can only get That's sweet relish thing. At ballparks.
Yeah, I don't like the sweet relish.
I think the relish it's thing is a sweet. Chicago thing. I don't like relish.
But they're at every ballpark. If you get relish at a ballpark, yeah. It's always sweet, never dill.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It drives me mad. I don't
I hate
like
sauerkraut,
it.
Too.
I like sauerkraut.
See, I love sauerkraut. Ugh.
Do you like schnitzel?
No.
Schnitzel's fantastic. Love schnitzel. Very good. 6087, who has the best chicken sandwich in fast food? I say Popeyes. That's what the texter said.
Popeyes love Chick-fil-A.
Is hard to beat. Chick-fil-A is not bad.
Chick-fil-A is there.
It's just so consistent.
I never get a chicken sandwich when I go to Chick-fil-A, though.
I go spicy chicken
I get the
sandwich.
Nuggets like a child.
They're so good.
Midwest, it was Hardee's, but Hardee's down here is a different. Hardee's chicken sandwich was really good. Have you seen this new chicken sandwich now that doesn't have a bun?
That's not a sandwich.
It's two chicken, breaded chicken breasts.
Is that KFC?
As the bun, yeah. With bacon and cheese and mayo in the middle.
They brought that back.
Instead of a bun, it's two breaded chicken breasts.
Yeah, I remember that back in the day. That's not a new one, right?
They brought it back.
I do remember
gut
that.
Gut bomb.
Wasn't one of the fast food places they did donuts?
Yes.
It was donuts instead of bread?
Yeah, I've heard of that one,
too. Trying to kill people?
You know who has an underrated chicken sandwich? Wingstop. Pretty new. Pretty good. Somebody suggested Shrinking on Apple TV. That's actually on my queue list to watch that on Apple TV. It's Roy Kent, I think, is the director of that. What's that? What'd you say? ABC Eric, Jeremy, the...
Truck driver Pookie says it's called the double down.
The double down?
Double down. So you double down on your chances for a heart attack with two highly breaded chicken breasts with cheese, bacon, and mayo.
Yeah, I come out on that.
That's a gut bomb waiting
to happen. That's a lot.
3863, Your Honor on Showtime is great. I've heard that about Your Honor, too. I might have to check that one out. I don't know if I want to read that on the air. Blankers, Lamar to the Packers. Question mark.
I'd love it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen because Green Bay is so in now on the guy that I'm so out on in Jordan Love. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. And I hear all these other people gushing about Jordan Love. And even more recently, just seeing him, I just don't see it. So the most honest thing that I've seen is most Packer fans, that they got behind this one. There was some blog site where a guy went off on this tirade where he said, look, I appreciate what Aaron Rodgers did for the Green Bay Packers, but the drama got to be too much. The whole, I want more, I'm good, no, I want more, just got to be more than any Packer fan could take. And they were ready to move on him for anybody. But the fact that the organization now suddenly totally believes in a guy that they never should have drafted when they did, that hasn't given you any indication that he's ready to do what they're expecting him to do, I think they're all set up for a massive fall, but we'll see.
All right. It's our Mailbag Monday. If you didn't get in your question, well, you can just tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. 713-780-3776. We talked a little bit about the Rockets there. They have 7 games left in the season. Thank goodness.
That's
only
it?
7 wow. more. Assuming Silas gets fired, which seems pretty safe right now, who are the top 3 coaches on your wish list? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
People are sending in their TV show recommendations. I love TV. I watch all the good TV shows. Somebody said Waco, the David Koresh documentary. I saw that one on Netflix. There was one, I don't remember what channel it was on, maybe A&E or something like that. They had the dude from...
From Friday Night Lights?
From Friday Night Lights, played
really,
David Koresh.
Really good.
It was so good.
They're bringing out... They're making another one.
Yeah, I know. It's on Netflix, though, right? I
think
it's out.
There's a document... No, but there's a follow-up season to the...
Oh, to Waco?
To Waco,
but
yeah.
Did you see the one on Netflix?
I saw it's been popping up on my, like, watch
yeah,
list.
I haven't watched it. I saw it last night, but I went with the Malaysian Airline mystery.
Well, it's supposed to go through, like, all 51 days that they were out there in Waco, so that seems like a time commitment.
Yeah, that seemed like I really enjoyed the one with the dude from Friday Night Lights, though. That was really good. But it's like it's interesting because you see it almost from like the Branch Davidians' point of view.
Yeah,
where it almost like makes you sympathize for them, which kind of feels weird to do that.
But yeah, but that's how like the best villains are. You should want to sympathize with all villains. Yeah. That's how you know a show is well written.
That was a really good show.
This is like my final TV watching. Like, I got two more days of like binge watching television shows.
We usually watch like a show a night.
I can't. Once the Astros start, how do you guys do it? Typically, like we'll have like, we'll be watching TV and I'll watch like an Astros game like on mute.
That's usually what I'll do.
Yeah.
Now, unless it's a big game, then that gets volume priority. But usually the Astros are on mute. Depending on the time.
That's fair.
Depending on the time. Sometimes I'll watch it back on DVR too, which I'm a big fan of that. Put the phone away, avoid Twitter, watch the game back. I do that a lot, actually. 6087, Breaking Bad is the greatest show ever. Breaking Bad's really good. I don't know if it's better than The Wire. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I think Breaking Bad is up there.
I enjoy
best
The Wire.
Shows of all time. I've never seen The Wire.
Breaking Bad's probably in my top five.
I think for me, it's Game of Thrones is so hard because they just butchered the ending.
Yeah, see, I can't. Game of Thrones is hard for me, man.
The first like six seasons of Game of Thrones to me are just the best television.
People say that. Have you seen Breaking Bad or The Wire? You got to watch these shows, man. Why don't you watch these shows?
Because I got so much going on in my family with the kids every night.
You
and
have
all the time
to watch Bucks Sixers basketball.
I watch a lot of sports. I'm not going to lie. I watch a lot of sports.
Watch Breaking Bad instead.
Well, right. When all three females are in another room watching something else, that's heaven. I got sports and no interruptions. I'm good.
Mega Blast says Sopranos is by far the best series ever.
Can't finish it.
Same.
I can't. I don't know why. I think it's
because you know how it ends.
I think that's the problem.
I don't think that's why for me.
I think it is for me. Like, everything that happens, I know it. I know it's coming. So, like, it's ruined. The whole show
Maybe.
Is spoiled for me.
You know what's hard for me? Is, like, the setting being, like, the early 1990s or whatever. Like, and seeing, like, VHS and those block cell phones. It's hard for me to, like, fully buy in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to dive into, like, okay, this is supposed to be, like, happening now, but... It's not. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to get through that one as well.
My favorite TV show of all time, I know it's not one of the most popular ones, though, is Sons of Anarchy.
Huh.
I love that show.
A lot of people have heard of
it. I've watched it so many times.
I haven't watched it. All right, Rockets have 7 games left in the season. Assuming that Silas gets fired, which, what are the odds that Silas gets fired? What's the percentage chance that Silas is...
85%.
He gets sacked. 85%? Where are you at, JoJo?
I don't like how low that is, but I think that's right. I think it's like 85.
Man, I'm a little bit more pessimistic, I guess. I have it at like 75%. I don't know. That seems low. All right, whatever. Steven Silas
just
trying
to be fair, right? I'd like to say 100%, but I don't know that.
All right, who are the top three coaches, assuming Silas is fired, that are on your wish list? Who do you want the Rockets to hire, assuming that Silas gets fired? Give me three.
So I'll give you the top two that I've had that haven't changed. There was three, and it was Quinn Snyder. He was the leader in the clubhouse, and it so much so that Atlanta took him. I think that it's either Ime Udoka or Kenny Atkinson, in my opinion. And then the sleeper is Nick Nurse, because I believe his run is coming to an end in Toronto, and they're really going to go with a young rebuild. And I believe that from the standpoint of him having spent a lot of time in the Rockets organization and knowing a lot of how they do what they do, and because he comes in with a championship and a good background that the players can respect, he's a sleeper pick that would be a good fit, and he can continue to coach without having any time off. So those are my three.
The Heavy.com, which, how much stock do you put in Heavy.com?
I've never heard
of it. And Heavy.com.
They go viral a lot on Twitter.
Anyways, Heavy.com is reporting that the Houston Rockets, if Steven Silas is fired, that they would have interest in Nick Nurse, assuming he's fired, and Ime Udoka. So Heavy.
See, I don't think he's going to get fired. I think it's going to be a buyout.
Okay. Well, he's available.
Yeah.
That they would have interest in Nurse and Udoka. And actually, the Raptors are mentioned as a team that would have interest in Udoka as well if they moved on from Nick Nurse. So that's exciting, right? There's two names on that list that we would be all very happy for. I cheated a little bit, and I have 5 guys on my list. I have 2 of them that
you can make a food chain out of that.
Can you?
5 guys.
Who's eating who? Oh.
You're a big burger guy.
I love burgers. But give me Smashburger over 5 guys. Not a popular
take. It's real expensive.
Not a popular take. Smash fries are underrated. If they're fired, there's 2 guys on my list if they're fired. Nick Nurse, Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau's not going anywhere.
I saw on Heavy.com that there's reports that they might be looking to move on from Tom Thibodeau.
There's absolutely no chance with the run the Knicks are on and the fact that the Knicks get everything hyper-scrutinized and the fact that because it's so hard to win in New York, I just... There's no way that they're going to move on from Tom Thibodeau.
If Tom Thibodeau's fired, he's on my list. Top 3 coaches that are available. Ime Udoka, I like your Kenny Atkinson call, too. I think he did a good job in Brooklyn. We see what life has been like after Kenny Atkinson. And how about this one for a third? I'm curious what you think. Frank Vogel.
I don't mind that.
I like the idea of Frank Vogel, mostly for what he did with the Pacers as opposed to the Lakers. I think the Lakers' job...
Wasn't he in Orlando,
is
too?
...is, like, completely different. I'm not sure. I don't remember the Vogel-Orlando days.
I think you're right.
I think he was in Orlando, too. I don't mind... I don't think he got enough credit for what he did with the Lakers and the bubble team that won it.
Probably.
Right? And I think that's a tough situation for any coach to get in, because you're not really coaching. You're really succumbing to LeBron James and then whatever that he wants and the general manager gives him. So it's a tough call, but I think he could be in the mix. I think Kenny, to me, is the sleeper, because Kenny got a raw deal in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And Kenny did a whole hell of a lot with not a whole lot to work with in a young team in Brooklyn before Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. And I think that Kenny now would come in with the clout of being an assistant coach on a championship team, working with the Warriors, understanding a little bit more, working with not only young players but veterans. And I think he could bring a lot to the locker room. And I think from the Ime Udoka standpoint, I just think that that guy has issues that are not basketball related. If you guys find a way to figure that out with him, I think he's the best coach on the market for any guy in the NBA to respect in the locker room.
Where are you guys at with, like, Sam Cassell?
4776 just texted. Best coach for the Rockets for the price, and we'll get the respect from the youngster, Sam Cassell. How is he as a game, like, strategist?
I don't believe in
from
him.
From a tactician.
I'm sorry, I love Sam. And I don't think this is the right situation for Sam if he's going to become a head coach. I think as much as he's dealing with and had to deal with a headache with James Harden, which he's had to deal with more so than almost any coach on that staff, I think that Sam coming into this Hornets nest would be the least ideal situation for him. If Sam comes in and he gets a team with a more veteran-laden roster, Sam can work with it. But I think that trying to be the teacher at recess that keeps all the kids in line is not what Sam needs, and it's not what this team needs.
The Udoka thing, like, do you consider what happened in Boston a deal breaker or something that...
I don't.
Is that... Hopefully it's just a one-off, right?
Well, I just said, that's an off-the-court problem. Like, I understand it got to be a organizational problem because they chose to make it such. They chose to put it on blast, you know, and look like they were being the good guys. But it's not the first or the last time anything like that has happened. But in terms of what he did on the basketball court as a basketball coach, he grew up learning under Popovich. Got it, you know, that's how he got, you know, cut his teeth in the industry as a coach. And he took the Celtics to the championship. I mean, they didn't win it, but he got them there. And he took a younger team and got them all together, got them all to buy in, did it on both ends of the floor. And I think that from a basketball perspective, he'd also not only would have the respect of the locker room, but Rafael Stone would have to respect him.
It's instant credibility.
No question.
To me, he's at the top of my list. Instant credibility. 713-780-ESPN. Who's at the top of your list? HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We've been making mock drafts great again with the Killer Bees ahead of the April 27th NFL draft. Today's mock draft is a Houston Texan employee. He's the football analyst and the sideline reporter. John Harris with his mock draft, which seemed to be a conflict of interest, but I digress. Who does John Harris have the Houston Texans taking at 2-12? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A month ago, before the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft, that Thursday, April 27th, we'll be having a special draft show. Be on the lookout for details when it comes to that. We make mock drafts great again. What?
Nothing.
What was that for?
Just a reaction.
Okay. Care to express your feelings?
No, not on the air, but nice way to call me out on it. But the boss is here. He's fine.
The assistant to the regional manager?
Yeah, him too, yeah.
Joe George?
Yeah.
Anyways, we make mock drafts great again. We do mock drafts unlike anybody else. We make them great again. We break down mock drafts better than anybody else in this city. John Harris, who is the Houston Texans football analyst and sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, has a mock draft on footballtakeover.com. You a little surprised that JH has some mock drafts going on?
Why?
mean, you're picking at number two who the Texans were picking. You're
so is that
lining of who they should be taking at number 12. That'd be like me telling certain teams who to recruit.
Well,
stuff like that. Like,
but it also could be, in a very strategic way, a way to send out a smoke signal. That's exactly what they're not going to do.
Yes. That one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this isn't going to make people happy then, because if it's that one, he has the Houston Texans taking Bryce Young at number two.
Well, but that's, I think this is different.
I think at number
okay.
two. Well,
okay.
Well, what do you want to, like?
Let's move the goalpost now.
It's Stroud. I think it's more, I'm saying more about 12.
And beyond.
It's Stroud or Young
okay.
at one or two.
All right. I wonder who John Harris had in his 2022 mock draft.
I don't think it was Derek Stingley.
Let me see if I can pull this up.
I don't think
up.
It was Kenyon Green either.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is going to be hard to pull up. I'm going to have to. This might take some time.
Yeah, this might derail the whole segment.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
He had the. Now, I don't know if this was the final version. Actually, I don't think it was the final version. It might have been. It was April 23rd. It probably was the final version. So last year, John Harris, on his mock draft on April 23rd, had the y'all might be onto something. He had the Texans taking Ikem Ekwonu with the number 3 pick, the tackle for actually the interior offensive lineman from NC State. Mm-hmm. He had Derek Stingley slipping to number 7. So maybe you're onto something. Kenyon Green, he had going number 17 to the Chargers. He had the Texans taking Jordan Davis. So should we be looking at people that he doesn't have the Texans taking?
Yep.
You think he has inside information, though?
Yep.
Really?
I do.
You think Casario's giving him some input?
I think that, first of all, John's smart if he does, and they have the conversation. And I think that from the standpoint of using every tool you have in the toolbox, it's smart from a Texans perspective, especially when people know that you're pretty close to the team. I think that the problem you have is that your viewers and listeners have zero buy-in because they think you're wrong. They don't understand how the game is played. But I think it's wise.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. Anyways, he has C.J. Stroud going number 1 to Carolina. He has number 2 to the Houston Texans, Bryce Young. So Bryce Young's the pick for the Houston Texans, according to John Harris at ProFootballTakeover.com. Will Anderson goes 3 to Arizona. Anthony Richardson goes number 4 to the Colts. And then he has Jalen Carter going number 5 to Seattle. So not a whole lot of drop-off for Jalen Carter. He has Will Levis going 14 to Minnesota. So we've been playing the game where we look to see who the Texans pick at number 12, and then with the next 3 picks, who we put ourselves in the shoes of Nick Casario and decide who we would pick if we were in that spot. We operate with the fact that they've already picked Bryce Young at number 2. Uh-huh. So Bryce Young's the pick at number 2. We're on the clock. Nick Casario, we are Nick Casario. We have the option of these 4 players. He had Jalen Hyatt going to the Houston Texans, which Lance Erline had Jalen Hyatt in his first ever mock draft going to the Houston Texans and then dropped him out of the first round. He has the New York Jets selecting Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia. He has the Vikings selecting Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky. It's going to be hard for me to pass him up. And then he has Dalton Kincaid, the tight end from Utah, going to Green Bay. So you have those 4 choices. You can take Jalen Hyatt, Broderick Jones, Will Levis, or Dalton Kincaid, and you already have Bryce Young in the fold. So, what's your pick?
I'll take the tight end. I'll stick with what I've said, which is if you're going to take a quarterback, you give him weapons. And I think that you give him a weapon. I don't know if it's the tight end that should be taken first overall off the board, but I'll take a tight end that helps make your quarterback better, and let's hope it makes your quarterback great again.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the way that I'll lean.
How are you feeling about this, Joe George?
I think I lead Kincaid here over Hyatt. Because it feels like the consensus has really much gone away from that. I think Lance's second mock, he didn't have Jalen Hyatt.
No, he didn't have him in the first round.
In the first round after having him mocked at 12 to the Texans. So I get the appeal because the one thing the Texans lack severely is speed, explosiveness of any kind. So like I think that's where I go Kincaid here for the consistency over the middle. And it's not and Schultz has nothing and Schultz does not factor into this equation. He's on a 1-year contract. Dalton Kincaid's
He's your tight end of the future.
Yeah, yeah. Schultz and Kincaid. And honestly, that's probably great for Bryce Young.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's having those two guys. All right. Like, that'd be my choice.
Maybe you can run some 12 personnel, too.
Yeah.
The Texans receiver room wouldn't be great. I hate these options. These might be my, like, of this game that we've been playing. With those four picks, it might be my least favorite group of four. It really might be. Because I've been anti-receiver at number 12. I don't feel like there's a receiver in this draft good enough to go to number 12. And it should be noted that this is the second receiver off of John Harris's board. He had Smith and Jigba going number 11 to Tennessee. I don't think that Jalin Hyatt's a first-round draft pick. I think that if he's there with your first pick in the second round, okay, that's an interesting spot for Jalin Hyatt. You just locked up Laremy Tunsil. Tytus Howard isn't going anywhere. That eliminates Broderick Jones. You have Bryce Young because you just picked him at number two, so that eliminates the quarterback Will Levis from this conversation. And now are you reaching on a tight end? Because I kind of have the same feeling about receiver in this draft that I do with tight end in this draft. I'm not sure there's a tight end or a receiver good enough to go number 12. And if you're going to be in the market for a receiver or a tight end at number 12, you should probably be looking to down to trade to like 18, 20, 22, somewhere in that range. But if I have to pick one of the four, can't take Levis. I already have a quarterback. I'm not taking Broderick Jones. I have two tackles that I'm comfortable with. I think Jalin Hyatt at number 12 is far too reachy. Give me the tight end. Give me the tight end, Dalton Kincaid, to give Bryce Young another security blanket. You know, probably going to draft receiver later in this draft, but I have Kincaid. I have Dalton Schultz in the mix. Give Bryce Young a chance.
That's
a
weapons.
Couple of security blankets. I'm going Dalton Kincaid over Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah, and you know, now let me ask you one, guys, one quick question. Not that you're going to go back to the days of Washington with two quarterbacks in one draft taken when they were taken, but would you take Levis if he's there? You create competition and you realize there should still be value for whichever one you don't pick, or you just have too many holes to fill to waste a pick on another quarterback.
Thing you've ever
I'm just throwing it out there.
I think that,
I know you are.
If you walked out, after all we've heard this entire lead up to the draft process, if you walked out of the first round with both quarterbacks,
too premium of a pick,
okay.
And now you have.
That's
two
why I'm asking.
I know you're doing it for the sake of conversation, but that's outrageous.
If they took Will Levis with the second pick,
taking Bryce Young at two,
if they took Will Levis at two.
Oh.
And then, like, Hendon Hooker at 33. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You could sell me on it. Mm-hmm. But Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, like, if you're drafting one of those guys, to me, where, like, I know we differ on this, Jeremy, like, where there's way less questions, then, like, I just, at best, I'm drafting, like, Clayton Tune in the fifth round.
I'm cool with that. I'm okay with two rookie quarterbacks in this draft. But there ain't no way I'm taking 2 and 12 on a QB. And I'm the Will Levis lover of this group. I'm probably the Will Levis lover of the city, if we're being completely honest. But there's no way you can draft quarterbacks at 2.
No, and I didn't think so either, but I was just curious because we've seen Washington do it, and both of them turned out. I mean, short term, it was RG3 until he took a hit.
Right?
He was third, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's much.
And he really turned out. But, I mean, yeah, I think that with as many holes as this roster has to fill.
No, he's a fourth rounder. Cousins a fourth.
Was he? You just can't do that.
Yeah, there's so many holes. And then, like, what is the plan? Like, what's the plan? Because immediately as soon as one of them's the backup, they lose all value. Like, you might be able to flip
them
for a second.
Well, I was going to say, at draft day, you might be able to make a move after the draft.
But you lose value immediately. It's like driving a new car off the lot. Like, the moment that he's on the trade block, you're never going to recoup as much as you used to pick for him.
I just use it because Daryl Morey in fantasy football drafts used to draft nothing but running backs.
Yeah.
The entire draft. And then start trading them.
713-780-ESPN. Who would you take if you had to pick between those four? You already had Bryce Young in the mix. Jalin Hyatt, Broderick Jones, Will Levis, or Dalton Kincaid. 713-780-ESPN. The HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So, D'Amico Ryans had a conversation a little bit earlier today with some of the media that are at the NFL owner meeting. Something he had to say about not being at Pro Days and what he had to say about Bryce Young and the size of Bryce Young. D'Amico Ryans commenting on the size of the Alabama quarterback. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Did you know that you can listen to the Astros and Space Cowboys tonight and tomorrow on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5? Their final tune-up before opening day on Thursday night. So we might be able to turn this into a bit where you try to spoil the Will House's first segment by doing it in our last segment.
I was just
going to
say, if this is our last segment, we're really setting the table for the wheelhouse.
This could be maybe an accidental bit that we can do on the Killer Bees. But
should we get some imaging made and call it like spoiler alert?
Maybe.
See how it goes.
Would we run the risk of offending them, saying that we took their idea?
No, because they're not on yet, so you can't.
I mean,
you can't.
Well, the Bad Take Boulevard has been claimed.
Stutzers tries to move the goalpost on that too. By the way. But I mean, everybody's going to talk about D'Amico Ryans today. It's not like they're, you know, the only people that are going to do it, but we're going to beat them to it. We're going to be first to the market.
Let's do it.
We're going to be first to the market in the final segment of the Killer Bees, where we try to guess what the lead story of the Wheelhouse is going to be. And it's D'Amico Ryans talking today ahead of the NFL owners meetings. Lots of coaches talking, owners are being there. I think I saw a picture of Mark Vandermeer rock and roll at the owners meetings as well. And D'Amico Ryans had comments about the size of Bryce Young. We know that Bryce Young's size is a huge storyline. It's been a storyline all year. It's been a storyline at the combine. It's going to be a storyline until he's drafted, either one or two, on April 27th. Without further ado, here is D'Amico Ryans, an undersized linebacker, talking about an undersized quarterback.
The guy's done it at the highest level in college football, and it doesn't seem to be, size hasn't seemed to be a problem. So, you know, I don't see it as an issue, because you watch the tape, and you put on the tape, and you see the kid play, and you see, you know, how smart he is. You see the anticipation. You see the accuracy. You see, you know, how this guy is calm in critical moments. So when you see those things, you know, size isn't one of the factors that pop up on tape. It's like, oh, man, it's a problem. So, you know, again, you just look at the track record, see what he's done in the SEC, highest level college football. He's been successful, and I think he'll be successful in the NFL as well.
Sure sounds like a head coach that wants Bryce Young to be his quarterback.
May sound like a head coach that already knows that the team in front of him is not taking Bryce Young either.
See, I was kind of thinking about that. Like, many people think it's one of the worst-kept secrets in the NFL that the Texans are bullish on Bryce Young. A lot of people think that. That's part of the reason that Carolina, I think, is trying to leak out that they're willing to trade down.
Exactly.
That they're willing to draft Bryce Young at number one. Because I think they are trying to hold the Texans over a barrel and hold Bryce Young hostage from the Houston Texans. I kind of think they're going to be successful. I kind of think Carolina is going to trade down from one to two. I kind of have a hunch it's going to happen.
I think that was something that they have to do. That's a futile attempt to try and get the Texans to bite. But I think that, again, like you said, the worst kept secret with the way the Texans are going, I think it's the worst kept secret also that Carolina traded up to get CJ Stroud. And I think that.
I don't think that they did.
I've heard that it was between CJ Stroud and Richardson. And that at the end of the day that, you know, it depends on which part of the contingent wins out, that there's some that believe the future is Richardson. Others believe that the now and the future could be Stroud.
But if they know that, if they know that they're good with either one, Stroud or Richardson, and they know the Houston Texans would take Bryce Young, why wouldn't you trade one for number two in a third round pick?
I mean, look, if the Texans feel like they have to make that, you know, guarantee as part of it, then I understand it. I don't like giving up the draft capital. I don't think it's necessary, because I really firmly believe across the league that the secret is out that whoever they take, they don't want Bryce Young. And if you believe what you've heard and what you're reading, then the two guys that they are interested in are Richardson and Stroud. So, if Nick Caserio knows that he's starting to get close to a warm seat, if not a hot seat, and he realizes this guarantees that he gets who he wants and that's all it's going to cost him, then if that's the move he has to make or feels like it, you know, he needs to make, then go get him. But yeah. I think they stand pat and still get the guy they want.
I hope they do. I hope they stand pat. And, I mean, I would take Will Anderson at number two. But I think that the Texans are going to get strong-armed into trading trading up to number one.
I sure hope not.
I hope not either. But would it surprise you?
No, it wouldn't surprise me. And like I said, I think that for as many missteps as Casario's had to this point, he knows that no matter how long his contract's for, he likes doing what he does, and he doesn't want to lose his job. And so to guarantee he gets the guy that he certainly knows that he wants at that point, then it's worth it for him.
Yeah, I hope they don't either. Omega says that the Texans trade up, they'll be the biggest jokes in NFL history. You know, I'm anti-trade up, but if you trade up and they get Bryce Young and then Bryce Young's a success, I don't think anybody talks about the trade up.
No, because it was an intelligent business decision from a football perspective to get a guy that you knew could
do what you needed him to do, which you are sorely desperate for someone to do.
Like, you're probably putting your job on the line, but you're probably
putting your job on the line.
Like, you're already, your job's already on the line at number two.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he considers making that move. Because if the cap, if people think it's not worth it, well, guess what? It's worth it to have my job. And if I didn't do this and didn't get the guy that I wanted, then my job might be gone pretty quick.
Key from LA, what's so funny about the Texans QB situation is we will be having the same conversation about a year or so. Bryce Young is not the answer. I'm a fan of Bryce Young. Blankers is probably slightly more of a fan of Bryce Young than I am. I think Bryce Young has a chance to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. If Bryce Young is the pick for the Houston Texans at number two, I will have no problem with that whatsoever, and I'll be completely on the Bryce Young train.
Well, I've been the guy that started the whole Forever Young campaign, however long ago it was now, thinking that this was the guy that they should focus in on, just like everybody's focused next year's draft on Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Obviously, size is something that's always going to be a concern. It's not going to go away just because he gets drafted. People are always going to be looking at it, talking about it, caring about it. That's for other people to do. If he plays quarterback and plays it well and understands what his job is and just does his job, no one will have a problem in Houston, Texas with Bryce Young, and I think he's the safest bet of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Joey says C.J. Stroud is going to the Panthers. Look at the pro day stuff. They did the same exact thing with Bryce Young.
The whole contingent just moved on from city to city less than 24 hours. So you can't say that they were at one and not the other.
They were doing the same thing with Levis.
Yeah.
Like McCown didn't ask Levis to play horse with him. He gave him a pat on his back. But they did the whole full court press with all of the quarterbacks. They did the dinner. They did the whole meeting. They did everything with all of the quarterbacks. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans didn't go to any of the pro days. They're like, we're good. We'll stay back in Houston. Which I personally don't care. I saw some people losing their minds like, the Texans are missing out on all this data, all this information. Does that matter?
I think the main data that you get is not from the pro day itself. It's if you get any one-on-one time with the actual player.
Which you can bring them in on a top three visit.
So you could have dinner with them.
Which they did.
Could have them in a meeting room for an extended period of time. And you could get to know the player. You could try to figure out, like, tendencies and thinking processes and things like that. Other than that, the tape tells you so much more than anything that a pro day can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care that the Texans were.
You already know by the time a pro day comes around if the guy's athletic or not.
Especially for a QB. Like, go get eyes on a third round receiver. Like, go get eyes on who you might be drafting as a fourth round running back. See what they look like. See what their agility and speed is like. Not a quarterback that's going to be drafted that high. Dre says, did y'all see the Texans are creating a fan council? The council will meet with executives quarterly. Isn't that weird?
It's a Cal move. It's the Cal part of all this, which is trying to resurrect and bring back fans and get them to be likable again. The same way Cal is flipping burgers and trying to talk about uniform changes and appeasing things that are going to appease the fan base. This is just another one of those moves. This is a highly marketable public type move. Not marketable, but exposure-based move that tries to draw attention to the fact that we care. And we care about you, and we want your opinions. You may never use any of their opinions. Yeah. Rockets went through this for a while, too, where they had these fan councils where they talked to fans and got their opinions. And most of the time, it was just to appease the fans to feel like they were a part of it. But they weren't actually a part of any of the decisions the fans were making, the organization was making.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me whenever Cal had Deshaun Watson out to dinner and was like, hey, who do you want as a head coach on this football team? And then didn't listen to Deshaun Watson at all. That's what it's going to be like. They're going to have these guys out to dinner. Cal McNair is going to cook them up some barbecue, make some burgers on the grill, and then he's going to listen to them and not
heed. It's like a town hall meeting where all you want to do is give the audience a chance to vent and just completely go off and express their opinions. At the end of the day, most in this case, they're probably not going to listen a whole hell of a lot to the fans. They just want them to feel a part of the process.
They're also not going to They're not going to invite Texans fans that are going to push back.
Didn't they have
a lot of it's season ticket holders?
It's
going
to be season
imagine.
Ticket holders, the people that are still committed to this team.
Who's the one that says in Alhalla? Is that's Larry? I think it's Larry.
Yeah, Larry Stafford.
Didn't they have him out to like one of their banquets? And they're like, we're going to listen to Larry and Stafford.
Was he at the one that like all the media members were at with Jack and Bill?
Yeah.
Because I think I thought there was maybe a couple fans of that too.
And Larry thought because he got talked to that they were going to make him basically like the new general manager. Like he was going to be making every decision.
He was on the end.
Yeah. Like he felt that way.
You think that Ben DeBose didn't feel like he was a remote part of the organization when Daryl and Tad included him in their media watch parties?
Probably.
They all do. That's why they do it. They do it for exactly that reason, because then they think, Daryl and Ted would say, we got them. We know now with these guys that want to go to these things that had such a great time when they go to watch a game with Tad and Daryl, that they're on the hook now. Now we go, they know, and they say, we got them. If we need to change something that they've wrote or we need them to write something for us, we got them.
You think the Will House will lead with DeMeco?
It won't be the Rockets.
Well, do we spoil the first segment?
It could be Final Four.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because BK's a little upset.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George, assistant to the regional manager, doing all the hard work. For Blank, I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Will House is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.